Damn, that's funny. Hold up. Hold that. Hold that. Hold that up to the mic. Hold that up to the mic and record that. Hold up. Hold up.
What can I say? My box is hot.
Was that a radio? Was that a radio drop?
What the hell was I responding to?
I don't know, but I saved it. Damn, well, I'm gonna use this some way somehow.
Oh, that's good. That's definitely the intro I'm using for this one.
Oh Lord! Damn. Call me 1-800. Yeah, yeah, love.
Call me 1-800.
Is hot.
742-BOX. X. Okay. All right. I will say this is the second time that we've done this recording the podcast last, and I kind of like the vibe. I feel like we're all loosened up. Because you are a heavy pour when it comes to champagne.
I'm scared of what I'm.
Oh, you
say.
Took a sip? You need some more.
That's funny. All right.
We miss Adrian, first of all. Let's give us. We miss
Adrian. Yeah, we miss Adrian, but we also replaced Adrian with Adrian. So, yeah. I mean, did we really? Now, I told Adrian, yeah, we're going to give him shit for missing out, but he's also getting his master's degree, so it's kind of like, you know, what is our shit talking matter?
Yeah,
you're the one over here with higher education. All right, well, how about I'm just going to jump on in and welcome the Spinheads. What up, Spinheads?
What up?
Welcome back to another episode of the Next Spin Podcast. This is episode 13, and to any new listeners joining us for the first time, welcome to the club. My name is Botter, and I'll be one of your hosts today. Let me start by knocking the dust off the wax with some house cleaning items, all right? If you haven't listened to last month's episode of DJ, podcaster, journalist, and rapper Al Pete, consider adding that to the queue after you finish this one. Al joined us for last month's vinyl meetup centered on soul music. And we discussed, of course, the merits of the genre and its close ties to hip-hop. Sorry, someone's... Big ass truck is driving by. We got the windows up.
I say this, we outies, man.
We outies. We outside.
We in Florida.
Yeah, we outside, inside. But anyways, wherever you listen to podcasts, you listen to that episode, please listen to that if you haven't. It was a fantastic conversation. One other house cleaning item before we really get started. Please make sure you're following the podcast on Instagram at Next Spin. That's NEXXSPIN. You can see pictures and videos from this meetup and content related to our personal collections there. Now, I'm not alone in this one, as you guys might be able to tell. I am joined by the rest of the Next Spin crew, which includes Mr. Quiet Storm himself. It's Freddie Douglas on mic number 2.
Yo, yo, yo.
And on mic number 3, we've got the return of the first lady of Next Spin. Janira Cardona is back with us. Round of snaps.
Hi, guys. I know you guys missed me last month.
We're down one man this month. We are down the Don himself, Stefan. Adrian Ross could not join us today, but that's okay because we are joined by the leader of this pack and the man behind the camera himself. Tony Smilajic is on mic number 4 holding it down. Round of snaps for Tony. Ooh. But you can hear Adrian Ross on last month's episode.
Are you trying to compete with Freddie with the deepest, sexy voice?
With you. Yeah, Tony like to act like casual about it. Like, what, me? Nah.
No, I don't have a sexy voice.
So we were supposed to have a special music guest this episode to carry on tradition, but this will be just a crew today. Very loosened up. On Andre Champagne and other
top shelf.
Yeah. Don't tell him that.
No. We gotta let them know where we at now, so that way when we start asking for money, they already know. Yeah, they need it. They need it bad. But Freddie was kind enough to once again host us, and per the usual, Freddie's been a fantastic host, always making sure that we are fed and liquored up properly, and always inviting some very cool and interesting people. To the meetup. So
Freddie, shout out to our fans for always being here, our mini audience.
I'm like, shout out to our mini sponsor, Sarah, for buying bottles on bottles.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Corbell.
And Adrian and Kelly. What
Adrian
and
Kelly back. Boo, boo, boo. I see you.
And today we get
Wes
in the building.
So Tony can relax. He don't got to take pictures.
Yeah, look, literally, Wes just brought out his camera. Yeah. Like, man, look at Tony just popped up real scared, y'all.
All right. Well, look, since we don't have a special music guest to introduce today, I'm just going to go straight to today's topic. This month's theme. you might have got a clue of what we're talking about if you're one of the few people that actually look at the episode titles. We're doing a theme today on Grammy winners and nominations. The theme was, I think, selected by Freddie, but it also forced. Could have been Tony. Yeah, you're right. The theme was forced on Freddie by Tony.
Yeah. It was the opposite way
around. Tony just did a Jada Pinkett Smith on Freddie.
It was the opposite way around.
Well, maybe we can set the record straight, because I mean,
Freddie picked the theme. There's no record. Continue.
All right. Well, Freddie, I'm going to turn it over to you since you did such a wonderful job hosting us. Give us the inspiration and reason why you picked today's theme and break it down for us.
Well, first off, I want to say happy Record Store Day to all my vinyl collectors out there.
Shout out to Tiger Records.
You mean to all our spin heads?
Yes, to our spin heads out there. May your bank accounts feel better in the morning. Grammys. We just hopped off the Grammy train. I thought it would be a good topic to bring up. I would also like to say fuck the Grammys.
Mm. Ooh. Why do you say that though?
Some venom behind that.
It's been a lot of some.
We're gonna get into that.
We're gonna get into it. I was like, yeah. We're gonna get into it.
Bob was like, what just happened?
He's like, this wasn't in the notes. Will Smith?
Wait, I won't lie. It's just that I didn't even know the Grammys already happened. I thought the Grammys were happening, and that's why
a month ago. They were the week after the Oscars. Yeah.
But okay. What happened was that Will Smith, slap was so controversial that it really...
That's right.
Well,
that's
I wasn't right. even speaking on. I was speaking on the controversy of Grammys.
In general.
I figured as much.
We'll get into that topic, though, but I do want to get more into that.
Well, let me go ahead and just ask a very basic question. Among us, actually everyone in this room, by show of hands, how many of you watched the Grammys this year and did not watch just clips of Will Smith smacking Chris Rock?
That was Oscars.
We watched both.
Oscars, sorry.
We watched both.
This was the first year, honestly, I unfortunately did not see the Grammys.
So you normally stay
and
up to date?
Yeah, I like save it and people wait for my commentary at the end. I do like a whole wrap up about it, but I unfortunately this year wasn't able to.
Okay.
I'm a little sad. Well, then, but from what I heard and from what I've seen, the Grammys this year was pretty boring.
Yeah, it wasn't, extremely.
Yeah, it was very boring.
Can either of you, maybe I'm looking towards Freddie and Tony for this one. Can you guys recap at least the big four? Who were like some of the bigger winners to come out of this year?
I mean, the main takeaways were Bruno and Anderson.
Mm-hmm. I know they tied.
They kind of took everything. Oh, Jasmine Sullivan. That was the only reason I was watching the Grammys, was to watch Jasmine Sullivan win Best R&B Album. And I was going to be outraged if she didn't. And then complain on Twitter and nobody would listen. but that's about it.
He was ready.
Well, everything I mean, we ignore Tony when he tries to champion Jasmine Sullivan.
Every time. This is the only reason I'm here.
Again, that album was not all that.
Oh, Lord.
Presented by Billy Porter. Anyways.
Okay. Well, thank you for that recap. That, you know, one or two.
I'm like, sure Bruno, Jasmine.
And it's like, is there any other categories? I don't know. I want to go to you then, because out of all of us, you have the most, actually, I think it's safe to say you're the only person with experience working in the music industry, both on radio and then production and with actual record labels. I'm curious, mm-hmm. are the Grammys a valid, benchmark for success? Like in your line of work, like how important are the Grammys?
Unfortunately, the Grammys has lost that special touch because of the controversy in the last couple of years. To me, the Grammys are still value. Like, they're still valuable to me. It's still, if I was to go in that career, that would be like the highlight of my career, to be my first Grammy and have a speech and all that. But I would like to change certain things in the Grammy world. Now, I could actually speak about it because when I was interning for the record label Universal Music Group, UMG Latino specifically, I had to submit Grammy music to the Grammys.
Does radio make a big deal of Grammy night?
No, not so much. We really don't. We're not really invited to the Grammys like that to cover the red carpets like that. I mean, I covered it, obviously. I cover who are the winners, who are the performers on my show. It is not like, it's not huge for us. But for artists, it is, obviously. First of all, just like actors, when they win an Oscar, they're able to raise their price, right? That's like a way to be able to charge more because you have more validation. So for artists, it's kind of the same thing. For musical artists, kind of the same thing. If you win a Grammy, you'll be able to raise your price more. You're obviously more respected. But the Grammys, they're picked by people that are affiliated with the Grammy. So you have to be invited to be a judge in the Grammys. You have to be invited from the Grammy Association. You have to be obviously a producer, an artist, a songwriter. You have to be in the music industry and you have to be invited. And then from there, they vote like who the winners are.
Thank you for that. Tony, as someone like that, it sounds like you stay pretty much up to date with like Grammy night and winners and whatnot. Like, is it safe to assume that it informs like the way you... Like, do you use the Grammys to discover new music or does it inform, like, your music experience at all?
It's rarely that I'm discovering new music on the Grammys. Like, sometimes for live performances, because that's what the Grammys is now, it's basically you see, like, 10 awards and 10 performances out of, like, the 70 awards that are being given out. Like, this year is, like, the highlight for me live performance-wise was Chris Stapleton. And then I was like... I guess technically he's considered a country singer, but he's coming to Jacksonville. That definitely pivoted me towards actually wanting to go see him live. But otherwise, I'm not looking at the Grammys to discover new music. It's just like it's social commentary. I always watch the Oscars. I always watch the Grammys. It's like in the gay DNA. I'm going to do it. I'm going to judge the things. I don't know. Yeah.
I want all of our listeners, by the way, Janair, if you'll do me the favor and post that picture you just took of Tony so everyone can see the amount of thighs.
It was a video.
That Tony is exposing in this podcast.
It was
podcast.
A video. Don't worry, Thank I got so it. Much. It's Thank on you. Video.
I noticed I was sitting like this.
But not to discount what you just said, I think I'm in the same boat where it doesn't inform the way I discover music, but I do use it as like a general like temp check of like the zeitgeist and kind of like pop culture of like the time, right? Like sometimes I do look at categories, especially like pop, that because, you know, I don't feel like I listen to a lot of pop. Like I kind of stay in my particular lane. So the Grammys to me is sometimes a nice benchmark or reference.
Oh, it's
to
a
use.
Great historical reference.
Exactly. Like just yeah.
in
it's
general,
like a good time capsule.
Yeah. 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 It's like Billboard's, like Top 100 and Grammys. Those are like the two things. If I'm looking for like records from, let's say 1974, I'll go to either Grammys that won that year or Top 100 of Billboard in, let's say, June to 1976.
And so for me, Grammys, I look at to look who was the producer, who was the engineer. Because I think people sleep on engineers. I'm a sound engineer. I have my associates in sound engineers. So basically I could
humble brag.
So to me, but people don't even understand like how a sound engineer can really influence how the song went. Not just a producer. Obviously when a producer, that's why it's so important to have that chemistry with your sound engineer as a producer. Because sometimes your sound engineer will catch what's missing from a song. I specifically remember I was in Full Sail University. We were in one of those classes and the teacher was producing an album for this artist. And I remember I was like, man, you guys in this particular song, I was like, it would be cool if you guys put that sound effect of coming from like one of those, you know, when you speak, what are those called? When you're speaking into?
Projector?
No, when you're speaking into. Projector.
The megaphone.
Megaphone. Yeah. I was like, it'd be cool if this part sounded like a megaphone. And he was like, yeah, you know, you're right. And that's coming from a sound engineer.
Did you get credit
for
that?
Engineer. No, of course not. You know, of course not. He went and did it. And he told me later on the artist liked it and they kept it.
That's cool.
But that's what a sound engineer does. And so the Grammys for me is to look up like because I don't, coming from the technical side and from the behind the scenes side, those are the people that I know like don't get the credit and they should deserve it. So the Grammys to me is to research like, oh, this is the album of the year. Who was a producer? Who were the engineers? Who were the writers? You know?
Yeah. I do find the Grammys interesting that they are essentially trying to quantify like a very subjective art form, right? Like the fact that they feel that they have a, and I mean, it's, you know, Yaya gave a little bit of a background on the submission process, but the whole voting process is kind of interesting, man. The levels of which it goes through and the phases, and the fact that like there is a committee, you know, it's like, it's easy to say, oh, the Grammys, and it's like this kind of esoteric.
It's a secret committee, and it's like 300 at for the, like with submissions you get for Grammys and average, they get about 20,000 submissions per year. And you have about 350 people who are under that thing. And it's constantly shifting out. It's like you have to had, like what Janira was saying with, if you're in the music industry, you had to have a single in the past 6 years, or you were invited or whatever. Those are the people that are voting. Like, and they get to vote in specific areas or specific genres. So they get, let's say, I forget what the number was. It was like 18 votes or something like that for their specific genre, and they pick which votes, and then you have the four big awards, and anybody can vote on those. But I think it was after, I'm like, we have not let Freddie speak this whole time.
I'm going to toss Freddie a question. Don't worry about it.
Why are you putting Freddie on the spotlight?
No, because I was
you
thinking.
You never talk. This is the first podcast you're talking the most. Go ahead and talk.
Like with the committees that you're talking about, because one of Freddie's picks is Purple Rain. Mm-hmm. Purple Rain lost against Lionel Richie in the Album of the Year, which was like an absurd situation. So in the 90s, after that happened, they formed a special committee to go in to study, to be like a separate committee on top of the committee of the Grammys, to make sure it's not something flawed like that happens, even though Macklemore still won over Kanye or Kendrick.
But they do lead you to believe, what I was trying to get at was that they do lead you to believe that secret, quote-unquote, secret committee is comprised of experts, right? Like, I went on the Grammy website and kind of was reading through, like, what they have listed, and a lot of it is like, look, you know, our committee of experts are told to vote within their specific category. So, I don't know. I think there's, like, that level of mystique is interesting, but I think that might be... and yeah, I'll get to that. This might be an answer for a later question, but that level of transparency, I think, could be a major improvement for the Grammys to, I think, win a little more trust from, music.
I don't know. I don't think I like the fact that the committee is secret. I don't want to.
I mean, it's Questlove and Jay-Z.
recently, I just put on a competition myself, but I had one of the nominees or one of the people participating stating, oh, the judges shouldn't know the artist, blah blah blah. And then it made me just think of, in that general, like, I kind of like the fact that we don't know who is necessarily judging, because then we could easily be like, well, you voted for this person because of XYZ.
I'm sure it's in the interest of the committee, right? Like, you know, how much, especially in the age of social media, if we knew, I imagine if we knew who is making these decisions,
and you know, somebody, one of them will be a Judas and take money and make what's her name, Taylor Swift, win over Beyonce again. So, like, you know what I mean?
I mean, I think one of the core issues up to maybe a few years ago was the lack of diversity that might have been in.
Well, that's the part we don't know.
Saying about, I think, having a better sense of transparency is that you could easily kind of solve that issue.
Because even if we still won't know who voted for who, even if we know who was in the committee, we don't know who voted for who, so that's not the issue, I think.
I'm sure diversity would be a big help, but I wonder how many of them would feel like, I've got to vote, you know, an expectation of me to make a certain vote because of who I am. And I think maybe
that's... Taylor Swift? They do that with Taylor Swift?
So recently in the Latin Grammys, there was a big controversy against Residente, who is René from Calle 13, you guys know him, and J Balvin. There was a huge controversy, all because J Balvin last year or 2 years ago had huge hits. He was nominated for some awards in the Grammys, obviously, but he did not win. And J Balvin went on a rampage on how he should have won because of his numbers, because of XYZ. And René, who is Residente from Calle 13, went off on him and was like, well, why? You're kind of like stating that these other artists, because they're not like number one on Billboard, because they're not, they don't have the numbers you have, they don't have the popularity you have, they shouldn't, you know, they're not the right to win and they shouldn't be nominated. So I understand what Renee was saying, because I think a lot of people, a lot of artists do assume that because I have all these numbers and all this, that I should win. But in the Grammys, the people in the committee don't look at that. They look at the musicality. The body of work, yeah. They look at the transitions. They look at the actual work in the music. And I don't think that's what people understand. The Grammys is not a Billboard award show, where the Billboards is about popularity, is about how many likes, how many streams you have. The Grammys is more a technical award show.
When I was saying, like, the people vote based on their genre. Like, they, if you're a Latin musician, you're only allowed to vote within the genres of the Latin musicians, plus the top four, the best new artist, best album, best song, whatever.
And best record, yeah.
Right. That's, I think, where it's skewed. I think for the most part in the Grammys, when it goes into like the best R&B album, best hip hop album, for the most part, they get it right, because they're only people who are specific within those genres get to vote in that genre. I think where it gets fucked up is when it gets into the album of the year. That's anybody can vote, and everybody is not listening to Bruno Mars and Kendrick. Like, they're not, they're going based off recognition, like name recognition or a song that they heard. So a Bruno Mars is much more likely to win like a best
and
album
that's why,
of the year or
and
whatever.
And that's why I think that category of album of the year is a little, it should be controversial, because how can you categorize an album of the year? A jazz album can easily be the best album of the year, but because it's in the jazz category, it's not in the popularity, it's not going to be in that category. So I think we should define, I think every genre should have the album of the year in the jazz category, album of the year in the hip hop category.
But they do. They do, right? There is an album of the year for every specific category.
Yeah, they
category.
Do.
But the big four are usually held at a much higher standard.
Yeah.
So and it's mostly like those pop. It's mostly those popular albums that are not. For example, the year that I went in 2011, I didn't know who Esmeralda.
When she won Best New Artist.
Yeah, I didn't know
who. Like the whole curse of the Best New Artist winner.
And I didn't know who she was, and I learned of her because of that. So, you know, it has its good and its bad, I guess.
I want to sidestep real quick, because so on the topic of kind of like controversy, but more so because Tony brought up a record that Freddie brought for today's meetup, and that's the Prince Purple Rain album. And I want to direct this to Freddie, but I think I'm like probably 99% of the population who probably don't watch the Grammys, but wait until the winners are announced, and then the next day we voice our very unnecessary opinion on it.
Womp, 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 womp.
But especially when it comes to like snubs, right? Which I think is just as large a part of Grammy culture as the actual like night of and the festivities and performances.
I mean, the Grammys just bring up good conversations about music. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just about the culture and talking about good music. But it's no reason to get too serious about it, in my opinion, even though I do get mad sometimes. But biggest snubs, I mean, obviously, the Kendrick and
the 2014
Macklemore.
Yeah, best new artist.
That's got to be top three.
Yeah.
And, of course, the one I brought with the Prince losing against Lionel Richie. And I also brought NDIRE, which Yaya is not a fan of. she had 7 nominations and didn't win anything. I always find that crazy.
Is it ever enough just that your artist got nominated? Like, sometimes I feel like a nomination is a pretty big, like...
You
like,
always want your artist to win.
Of
I
course.
Always want Beyonce.
Jay-Z was nominated, what, 2-3 years ago with like 7 or 8 nominations. He didn't win none of them. How did you feel?
Was that 4-4-4?
Don't remind me. Right?
How did you feel?
Look, we're not talking about Jay-Z. We're not talking about Jay-Z right now, right?
But yeah, you always want to share for them for sure.
Has there been any snubs that have garnered a personal reaction out of you?
Out of me?
Beyonce, Adele.
Beyonce and Adele, I guess. Yeah, I did bring Beyonce's Lemonade today. That was one of my vinyls, and that was one of my stories today. But that year was, I think both of them deserved it. I'm not going to lie. I do think Adele, I know. Now, but Beyonce was, because she had a visual aspect to it, it was the first album that she, right? It was the first album that she dropped visually.
No.
Which one was it?
Beyonce was visual. Beyonce self-titled was also visual.
But this one was the first one that she did as a surprise, right?
Second. Because this was on HBO and everyone knew airing on HBO.
So anyway.
Beyonce was like just a random drop in the middle of the night and everyone went crazy.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay, so I'm sorry, I'm confusing both. But either way, they both album really, really deserved to be nominated. And either one in my category would have been. But because Beyonce added that visual element and because Beyonce really opened up herself and it was her story, it was the time when Jay-Z cheated on her. Obviously, it was after the whole elevator controversy. So people expected her to win. But do I think it was a snub? Yeah, I do. Unfortunately, I do love Adele winning. I'm happy she won. I wouldn't take that away from Adele either. But because Beyonce...
Adele wanted to take it away from her. She's like, this is Beyonce.
Well, I know. Adele, she did. She did. Legit. Adele really, really went on several interviews, said it in her speech that Beyonce should have won, went backstage, talked about it, talked to Beyonce in her own personal dressing room, let her know. Until this day, the other day, she did a Vogue interview, and she still feels that Beyonce should have won that year in 2017 for Album of the Year.
Has there been any winners that have sparked an interest in you to maybe look into that person's record or album? There's been certain snubs where I'm like, you know what? I'm kind of curious what could be seen, you know, like maybe this is not an album or an artist I would typically listen to, but the fact that they supposedly beat out these other artists, I wonder what's special about it.
I think about that every year that I say I'm gonna listen to Beck and I never do.
It's like Beck, you too.
Beck has won everything for so many years. Beck has won, and I'm like, he has to be good. There are certain people who I know that musically they are probably excellent. Like, her is excellent in musicality, but I don't want to listen to her and I don't want to listen to Beck. I can't even say why because I haven't listened to him.
Yeah, you just don't got the time.
I mean, why her though?
Then, like, even Kanye just reason because Kanye lost the bet.
No, because I don't like Jasmine Sullivan.
Oh, he's still on Jasmine
Sullivan.
Sorry.
I think one of the most egregious ones that personally got a rile out of me was, I think in 2013, Mumford and Sons album Babel had beat out Frank Ocean's Channel Orange.
Ooh.
And I just remember thinking, like, you know, I know I've heard Mumford and Sons.
I did look up Mumford and Sons after that.
I actually like Mumford and Sons.
Did it warrant, like, did you see anything? Did you feel anything from that album to, like,
not warrant? I can't because Channel Orange was such a nostalgic, emotional, that was a very different album in my life than that could have been. Even if it was a better album, I'm biased.
That goes into personal choice.
Yeah, there's a lot of personal bias in that. I'm sorry. Yeah, what were you saying though?
No, I agree. I know who Mumford & Sons is because my ex-roommate, she's from Chicago. They're from Chicago, so she would play them all the time. They're a good band. I would never take anything away from them, but I do agree with Tony. I think Frank Ocean's album definitely was snubbed. And I feel like Frank Ocean is definitely one of those artists that also doesn't get the recognition that he should. I mean, we all know and love him, but he in the industry, he definitely doesn't get the respect and recognition that he should.
It's the same shit with, like, we get mad for, let's say, the Oscars is the same situation for me. I get mad when my movie doesn't win, but I didn't watch any of the other movies. Yeah. So when the other movies win, I'm like, I don't know.
I guess there's and maybe this is a foolish sense, but a sense of trust that I have in this committee, thinking like, okay, they should know better than me. Even though sometimes it's hard to think that when you're like, wait, this person beat out this? You guys sure about this, right? Like, this album was that much better than, you know, Good Kid, Mad City? Like, you sure? All right, I'm going to have to take you.
Macklemore? Really?
But who has ever gone back and listened to a Macklemore
even
album?
Though sometimes you're like, nah, I know for a fact. I don't even got to listen to this Beck album. I know it wasn't better than this. All right, but we spent a good time talking about snubs. I want to talk about some positive things. And that is some of our favorite performances. Because to Tony's point, You know, the few Grammys that I have watched live has always been because of a performance or someone or an artist that was going to be there performing that,
or
you know,
a duo.
Exactly, that I wanted
to
see.
Yeah, that's something that Grammy's good at. Yeah. Is putting artists together that you, for example, they are that Prince and Beyonce.
And it's like, you know that this is going to be a high caliber performance. It's like the Grammys, the artist has got to come with it. You know, the stage design is going to be crazy. Like, it's going to be a spectacle to watch. So that's got me. So I want to hear from you guys some of the more memorable or your favorite Grammy performances or even moments at that.
I mean, my overall rule of thumb for the Grammys is if Beyonce's not performing, then it's probably not. It's not worth watching. Beyonce not performing? I'm good.
Talk about close-minded.
All right, so what was your favorite Grammy Beyonce Grammy performance then?
Ooh, that one with Kendrick. That one was exactly nice. What I was thinking. She killed it.
That's the only performance that came to mind.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of ones that I remember. I'm like, eh.
Mine would be when Ricky Martin performed... Living La Vida Loca.
I remember that one hardcore.
On the Grammys, he did a whole, like, he had dancers coming down the aisle. Mm-hmm. Everybody got up to see. I think I lived in Virginia at that time. If I'm not mistaken, I probably was like 12 or I must have been 11 or 12 years old. And I was so damn proud to be Puerto Rican. Mm. And that was kind of the year that Big Pun, J-Lo, Ricky Martin, it was like the year of Puerto Ricans. and obviously he did his mother effing thing in that performance, honestly. And that's a performance till this day. I vividly remember like the dancers, Puerto Rican, like dancers coming in traditional dances and people were just getting up and dancing. And he was like just killing it. And that's, to this day, is probably my favorite performance just because of how live it was and how I related. And I could just, I felt like I was at the Grammys, and I've been to the Grammys and I still feel like I was at that particular Grammy.
That was wonderfully said. That goes a soundbite that you can share on Instagram. I've got two. One being Eminem's performance of Stan with Elton John.
Yes.
I think it was the 43rd Grammy Award. But I don't know if I had watched that one live, but I know I'd watched it like shortly after it like happened. And it was like when I was really getting into rap and like I just kind of really fucked with Eminem, but fucking. And it was a surprise, too, because, you know, it was amidst the controversy of Eminem and, you know, his lyrics being under scrutiny and you know, a lot of people calling
homophobic. Wait, was that the one where he had like a million? No, that's not the million.
No, that one, I think, was the MTV Awards.
That's the only performances I remember. As you're talking about this, as you're talking about different performances at the Grammys, all I'm thinking about are VMAs. I'm like, I remember Britney Spears with the snake, or
no, that's VMAs. Or,
and I think for it might be said to say for people in our age group, I think the VMAs was our Grammys, right? Like that was a little more like what we were into.
Well, because the VMAs took over what the Grammys should have done.
Yeah,
I think the Grammys try to stay so classy.
Yeah,
and
stuffy. It kind of comes off as stuffy.
Yeah, it became boring, and then.
But when did the VMAs fall off?
When we got old.
No,
are they relevant now?
No, even till this day, they have fallen off. It's not the same. Even the MTV Movie Awards. I think just MTV in general has fallen
MTV
off.
Has
we
fallen.
Got old.
I think as soon as they started falling off, I think we all just... And then on top of that, I think artists also... the art of video has fallen off. Like, I don't think a lot of artists are investing in videos like how before they used to. You know what I mean? Like, remember in MTV, they used to have making of the videos, which I feel like they should bring back.
Back then, you had the labels paying for everything. Now, a lot of these artists are independent, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, but you know what? That's why you see in these videos, like, for example, one prime example, one of J-Lo's videos has a Swarovski crystal out of nowhere, and it's like that, and then the BMW logo, and you could tell that these are the sponsors that are paying for these videos.
So. That's J-Lo.
And one more to add to that list, and I brought it up in the show and tell, but and this might be a case of like recency bias, but Kanye West's Grammy speech when he won you know, his first triplet of Grammys in 2005, that, I mean, I know I vividly remember watching that Grammy because I was really into Kanye West, and he already kind of started making a name for himself with kind of like the antics that he would do at award ceremonies. But, you know, he was nominated in so many different categories, and I was such a diehard, and that all white suit that he had, the swirl haircut, and that epic speech, man, you know, the way he ended it, you know, they wonder,
They ask, what would Kanye West do if he didn't win? I guess we'll never know. Just like the way that attitude, like it's just set the precedent, like, damn, this is going to be an artist that we will continue to see, you know, from here on out. So that's another one of those.
Was that Kanye's first Grammy Award?
Yeah.
Really?
That was the first. He won.
He never won anything for producing?
I don't. You know, I don't
I'm
know.
I'm sure he has.
He wouldn't have been on stage then.
No. Yeah, probably
yeah,
not.
He wouldn't. Yeah.
I would. You know, so now I'm kind of curious. I gotta look into that.
For Jay-Z, the blueprint. The posse.
I gotta look into that. Actually, that's a good question. Because I know at 2005, he won Best Rap Album for College Dropout, Best Rap Song for Jesus Walks, and the Best R&B Song for You Don't Know My Name. Which, Yaya, to your credit, he's not singing or rapping in that song. He's just a producer. And it is kind of cool that the Grammys does spotlight. Like
everyone who's on the album or on the song, if you won Album of the Year, everyone who's on the album literally will receive a Grammy. Everyone on the album, if you won Song of the Year, everyone who's on the song will literally receive a Grammy. And I have several friends who have received Grammys for being engineers, for being producers on
the
track.
Oh, it'd be Record of the Year.
Yeah, the Record of the Year is the more technical one.
Sorry.
Because I always get confused between record and song.
I had to look it up. I was talking to Freddie about this earlier. I'm like, I look up every year difference between Record of the Year, Album of the Year, and Song of the Year. And Song of the Year is just the songwriter.
Mm-hmm. Song, composition, and like structure. Record is like the whole team.
Yes.
I'd imagine like if the Grammys didn't have all of the ceremony or the artists, we probably wouldn't care for it as much. If they only specifically focused on like the behind the scenes folks, I don't think it would be nearly as a big event. But I mean, you know, they get so many different sponsors and I'm sure so much money flows through.
I mean, even this year they had like the tour producers presenting the awards. Yeah. I'm like, who are these people?
But I'm happy for that.
I mean, it's exactly. Cool.
Because I'm one of the people that's in the background and I know people that are in the background that, you know, put in work and hours and doing a song and doing all this. And because they're not famous, because they're not getting that recognition. So I'm happy that, you know,
yeah,
more
the respect
people are
well deserved. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to spend 45 minutes of just complaining about the Grammys. Let's end it. Let's end it on a high note.
It's always fuck the Grammys till Beyonce wins.
A year from now, he's gonna be like, man, did y'all watch the Grammys? I love the Grammys. I'm supporting them from day one.
I said Beyonce won.
But I want to hear your thoughts and ideas as far as what do you see as the future of the Grammys and how can they improve it, I think, to be more relatable, fresh, whatever adjective that you want to use. Do you have any thoughts on where it could go and what it could probably need?
Yeah.
I've been talking this whole time. I think the committee needs to be refreshed for sure. Again, we unfortunately don't know how the committee is chosen that extent, but I do feel the committee should be refreshed. I think the categories should definitely be refreshed to follow modern times. Because the music industry has changed so much from when the Grammys originally started to where we are now with technology and social media, especially TikTok. Like, it's amazing how much TikTok influences if your song is going to be a hit or not. And all of these artists are now literally making music to be TikTok, to be TikTok challenges and TikTok hits. And so I think the Grammys need to be have a modern day uplift, makeover.
Whether it be like most popular song on social media or TikTok or whatever platform, I think they've got to integrate how music has adapted into with social media. With technology
how much
in general.
Social media
has
influenced the music industry. Period. Again, specifically TikTok. There's some artists that are now signed and are big independent because of TikTok. There's some songs that were in the early 2000s, late 1990s that weren't hits that are now hits because of TikTok. And so I think eventually we do have to reflect. The Grammys are going to have to update themselves with what's going on in our time and in modern times in music with streaming and social media.
To piggyback on the TikTok thing, I think that should definitely be included, especially with, I can't speak for the younger audiences, but I feel like Grammys aren't anything that they're necessarily interested in, especially with them receiving a lot of their music from social media, TikTok. maybe Instagram.
But they say they're not interested, but then you have people like, what is her name? The driver's license girl, Olivia Rodrigo.
I mean, interested in the artist they discovered on TikTok.
I know, but yeah. I don't think it's like as esteemed for the younger generation as what it was. But I don't know how to bring that in as far as currently, unless you like go... I would go the Essence Fest route of making the Grammys a music festival. And like
getting, I like that.
Getting these people performing. Like, get... I don't care about you being in the... Not saying I don't care, because I still want to see you in a gown. But I can pass that up if you're going to go perform. Mm-hmm. If like the top five artists are all performing and then you kind of present the award. Or just figuring something out. So either something so drastic like that, or you play into nostalgia for people who are our age, like millennials, and you go back towards like getting a Grammy for best music video, or, you know, just going back to things that we like used to care about. Yes.
Like a retroactive
award. So yeah. Like you're saying, that's like cool. Losing some of the stuffiness that the Grammys kind of have.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Updated.
It's like, it's up and down. I'm like, I don't know how to lose that stuffiness unless the older people die off. Because I feel like even when you get to somebody in their like 50s, I feel like they're okay with losing the stuffiness. I think it's like the 50s to 80s or whatever that are kind of spearheading and putting in the money for the Grammys. They still want that. And that's the same way with like the Oscars. It's such a, it's so uptight. Where
do you think the Grammys will be around in 30 years?
I think so. Yeah, art is still a thing in the music industry. If you're a singer and you're trying to be in this industry, you're going to want to win a Grammy. That's your highlight. That's
especially
your, like,
if
the
they
peak.
Like what Jania's first thing was, like expanding the people who are voting for the thing. If they added a shit ton more people and had it like a lot younger people interested in it, those people who are voting in it, if you're 20 years old popping off in TikTok and you also get invited to, you know, cast your vote in the Grammys, you're much more likely to talk about the Grammys and to post about it. And
so you're saying the Grammy needs a social media influencer group or aspect.
We wouldn't know who it was. Like,
true.
Because it's still secret.
Yeah.
But those people would be much more likely to actually talk about it and make it significant again.
But they have a Grammy U. This is where I know Tony was like, oh, Janita's going to talk about her going to the Grammys. Of course I got to talk about this. First of all, it's a highlight in my life. It was on the bucket list how many people get to say they went to the Grammys. And I went to the Grammys. And I went to the Grammys after party. And I actually got to walk the red carpet. So, yeah, I'm going to be bragging about that shit. Because that was a highlight in my career.
Grandkids. You know what?
Exactly. And I don't really get to talk about this that much. So here's... shut up.
With me, you do.
Like, because whatever. You're my... Anyway, the point is, when... So Grammys has this category. It has a department called Grammy U. It's for universities. You have to be in certain universities. Full Sail University is considered. Berkeley's office is obviously considered. And you get to go to like special seminars and all that. And you get to go to the Grammys. You get invited. You have to pay. Steal your ticket. They could grab those students. Because first of all, these are students that want to be in the music industry, that are studying music, that understands what music is, that are not just groupie or fans, that are legit, understand the technicality. Exactly, of the music industry and all that. They can easily get those top students in those universities. And then from there, that will keep the spark of the younger crowd. That will keep the spark of that, you know, those college students, that's what you really want. You want those college students to still have love and talk about the Grammys and be like, yo, guess what? I get to vote on these categories in the Grammy, like blah, blah, blah. And then it's like a thing. You know what
I think they're losing the, when it comes to even that, like with the Grammys for the pop artists of right now, like saying like a Pooh Shiesty or Young and Ace or something, like those people are never going to be on, like those specific artists are not gonna be nominated even in the best rap category of the Grammys. It's like such a, it's a smaller circle but it has such like a huge cultural significance of people that you would need, but they're not being recognized.
But I will tell you this, your song has to be registered either in one of the three song categories to register, whether it's ASCAP. ASCAP, yeah.
Like, oh, ASCAP.
What's the other one that starts with the O?
I don't know the O.
There's three of them.
Anyways, on BMG or something?
I can't think right now. There's three of them that you have to register your song. So you don't necessarily have to have a radio hit to be even in, to have your song submitted to the Grammy.
Maybe that can be a change they can do in the future, is actually reaching out to some of these artists that are breaking out in the music industry with popular songs, instead of them like, well, you have to come to us type of thing. They can reach out to them.
A little more active instead of being
reactive. You know, like, well, if you register your song, then maybe you'll
get
nominated.
The Grammys is its own association. They legit all year long have seminars, all year long have different activities. The Grammys is not just in a Grammy Award show. They actually do a lot in the music industry.
We have given the Grammys enough free ideas, and we pontificated enough about some.
So we'll have the Grammys solutions for sponsor and Topo Chico.
Not bad on the sponsorship lineup. I ain't gonna lie. We could do a lot worse. How about we go ahead and talk about the actual reason why we're here, which is records. Instead of sharing all three of your records, because we're gonna let the pictures and the videos that we post on the Next Spin social do most of the talking. I want you guys to highlight just one record specifically that you feel nails today, or the theme for today, right? So of the three records that you were supposed to bring for our Grammy night theme, which one of those records fully encompasses that full theme? I'll go to Tony, since he's got his records in hand.
I'm going to just pick Prince.
And Tony, well, I'll look to you
on Prince.
What's your one record that you want to share or spotlight?
I'll be very quick. Mine will be Kendrick's Good Kid, Mad City, which was the for best rap album. That's when he lost to Macklemore.
Bum, bum, bum.
Which is the whole biggest snub thing. And even Macklemore going up there and being like, I don't understand why this belongs to Kendrick. But it became so cringy. It was cringy.
Yeah, it was.
The whole situation was cringy.
The text, the post.
And that's like situations like that.
Oh, yeah, he ended up sending like a text to Kendrick, like, yo, man, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but hey, man, I'm so sorry. You should have won that.
And he posted the screenshot of this and text, then not Macklemore, Kendrick.
Macklemore posted himself. So it just seemed like very like.
It was, bleh.
You know, very.
And that was like one of those situations where it became such a controversial thing of, do the Grammys actually matter? And that comes back every couple of years when there's like a big snub like that.
Oh, for sure.
And
it is a tired debate, but one that I mean, much like Freddie said, it is kind of fun to like, you know, get music goers.
All in good.
What else are we talking about? I'm like, we as far as like people who like music,
for sure.
This is shit.
That's what it's all about.
It's just debate.
Well said. And I mean, overall, great album to listen to, anyways. So kudos on bringing that. Freddie, looks like you grabbed your albums. What's the one that you want to spotlight?
This is one that Kendrick also lost to. This is for Album of the Year. I brought
up. He's rubbing salt in the wounds, huh?
Daft Punk, Random Access Memories, which was got a lot of accolades when it came out. I was when I saw this that because I didn't watch this year's Grammys, but
yes, you did.
I did.
We watched.
Well, I don't remember watching it. But I was split between whether this album should have won or not. But I was leaning towards Daft Punk only because of the nostalgia this album had for me.
Thank you, Freddie. Yaya, what about you?
Mine would have to be Beyonce's Lemonade. Only because it's a visual. It's not just an album. She literally thought about this from the visual aspect to the transitions, to the flow of the songs from the first one to the last one. Yes, Adele deserved it too, because 25 really is an amazing album, but because Beyonce included the whole visual element to it and literally thought of it from point A to point B, to the marketing, to releasing it on HBO, everything. I think it was just
a
full package. And I think the Grammys really slept on that. And I understand why Adele told her, in her in Beyonce's dress room. Like, it's, the Grammys don't understand. They want to stay their old school way, and they don't understand what us new artists are doing to elevate music and to change the music. And I think what Beyonce did was smart. You know, I think it she's definitely has influenced other artists to kind of do the same thing with these pop-up surprise albums. I think the album Lemonade is definitely one of the top five albums ever made, no matter what century, no matter what genre. I think Lemonade definitely is top five, in my opinion.
And Beyonce got snubbed again at the Oscars, but against Billie Eilish, of all people.
I do like that song, though.
She lost twice against Billie? Oh, you're talking about the last Grammys.
For the Oscars.
This last one.
I'm like, how dare you have Beyonce
But Beyonce
come
did open the Oscars.
And not give her the Grammy.
I like the Billie Eilish song, too, though.
The 007
against
joint?
Against Beyonce?
No.
Adele won for that same shit a few years earlier. Oh, all Beyonce has to do now is do that 007
that
theme.
No.
Lemonade's the best album of all time. I like Billie Eilish.
No, I'm not taking anything away. I'm just saying, Billie, I like that song.
Not to beat a dead horse, but real quick,
we continue calling her Billie Eilish.
What Yaya highlighted about Lemonade being a full package individual album has got me thinking that, like, if that wasn't a lesson to the Grammy Academy and nominations already, I think as we are starting to see technology advance and grow in these different avenues for artists to do additional things on top of, like, albums, you know, regardless how you feel about NFTs, like, that is a part of, like, music. Like, artists are leveraging that to do more than just provide an album. I think it would behoove the Grammy to, you know, I think get ahead of that and, like, embrace technology and artists doing more than just your typical, like, music releases, right? Like, if they're supposed to be the highest caliber of recognition for an artist, and I think that it would behoove them to look and reward artists that are pushing and elevating musicdom.
Obviously, Prince made an album off of Purple Rain, but I can't wait. Excuse me, I just got the hiccups because of the champagne.
That's so cute.
But I can't wait until an artist makes a movie or a I'm sorry.
Go eat a spoonful of peanut butter and that should help.
Listen,
out.
Listen, I can't wait until an artist makes a Broadway show from their album or a movie, a musical movie from the album. I know Beyonce has released. I know Beyonce has released visuals for every song, but I'm talking about like a movie where
Gambino
kind of together
did that.
Or a Broadway show that goes. I can't wait for it. And I wouldn't be surprised if Beyonce is the first one to do it.
Hey, look, I want to give Yaya a round of snaps just for getting through that.
She made it.
That's a warrior,
she made it.
All right. The album, I'll spotlight my album. We'll get to wrapping up this episode. I want to say the album I'll spotlight that I brought among my three is Aretha Franklin, 1972's Young, Gifted, and Black, which won her a Grammy the following year. That album was released in 1973. Like I mentioned to you guys, the award for Best Female R&B Vocal Performance was first presented to the queen herself, Aretha Franklin, at the 10th Grammy Awards ceremony in 1968 for the song Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. And then she proceeded to win back-to-back for the next 6 years in a row. Until I think 1975. So from 1968 to 1975, she dominated and won that category, and then went on to win it three more times later on in the years for a total of I think she's the most decorated Grammy winning R&B female vocalist or whatever that specific category is. But she's won the most Grammys, and Young, Gifted, and Black is a great album. So that is the one I'll highlight. With that being said, I'm going to throw in one additional new segment. I don't know where we're going to land on the name. I'm thinking, tell me if this sucks. But I'm thinking we can call this new segment the Rewind Spin.
It sucks.
Probably. But I want to hear from everyone. Super lightning round, quick pace. What song or album from this past week has been on repeat for you?
Man. So
it doesn't have to be related to the topic, but think about how we used to do our top five weekly playlist.
Which I missed that, by the way.
Well, this is our opportunity to kind of do something like that. I'm gonna call it the Rewind Spin for now until we figure out your name.
Sucks.
That should be the sound drop for it. I say that we almost hold a contest to our listeners to come up with a better name for this segment. So for now, we're gonna continue calling it Rewind Spin.
That sucks.
Until we come up with a better
Why
name.
Why did it suck?
Nah, this is funny to say though.
I don't mind it at all. It's
funny. That's a really funny one.
I have nothing else better. So,
Tony, we're going this way. Tony, Yaya, Freddie, and then me. Go.
Currently on repeat, I have coffee. So K-O-F-F-E-E, the girl from the reggae girl. What was the big song? Not Lockdown. What was the big coffee song?
I don't know. It's just artists.
Something on the pam pam.
Why can I think of it? Toast. That's
yeah.
it.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, she released her first album about a month ago, which was Shine. Or, yeah, no, Gifted. And from the album, Pull Up has been on repeat. But overall, the whole album is what I've been listening to.
Pull up another body, yeah. Nobody, yeah. Pull up another Rari, yeah. Bare feelings, then my carry. Pull up another Audi, yeah.
All right, Yaya, what's been on repeat for you?
Yaya is the term.
Did you swirl champagne on your arm? Yaya, get yourself together.
Listen,
get
I'm
yourself
sorry,
together. You know what it is? It's because Yaya.
Wants to kick me
it's because Yaya missed last month, so she's got to go extra hard.
Listen, that's what y'all get for making me do this podcast after we've been drinking. Anyways, the point is, my song right now, and I was gonna say Karol G's new song, but because everyone is loving Karol G right now, and I want to introduce Shakira to this new generation who don't know about Shakira, I'm gonna say Shakira and Raúl Alejandro's new song called Te Felicito, which means I congratulate you in English. Te felicito, really dope. The video is super dope. Shakira still looks like she's 20 years old. Check it out. Te felicito, Shakira, Raúl Alejandro. Don't sleep on Shakira. If you don't know who Shakira is, look her up. She's amazing. She could go from every single genre, and she kills it.
Por completarte me rompí en pedazos. Me lo advirtieron pero no hice caso. Me di cuenta que lo tuyo es falso. Fue la gota que rebasó el vaso.
Freddie, what about you, man? What song's been on repeat?
For me, it would be Sonny Colon's Universe for Two. He just released a little EP probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And the whole album's been on repeat for me since it dropped. But it's a vibey little R&B joint. But yeah, definitely check out the whole album. But Universe for Two is the first song, so there you go.
It's excellent.
Patience. Virtue.
I will say, this is the last time that we record with the windows open, feeling ourselves, because today must be a car show or something. That's like the 15th loud engine I've
heard.
Well,
we are in Springfield, baby.
True. Ooh, Tony's like, don't give my address away. Yeah, yeah. All right. I'll just say an album, and that's Vince Staples' new album, Ramona Park Broke My Heart. It is a 41-minute, 16-track album, and I am here to co-sign all of these rap albums that are under an hour. It's one of them albums that you can just play from front to back, especially if you are in like a vibey West Coast mood. So if you want something that you can play in the background without really have, and I say this respectively, like not to discount the quality, but to play in the background and not really have to hone in, but then the standout songs will definitely make you pause and take notice. Vince Staples has been on a run of these like very quote-unquote artsy kind of concept albums, and this one follows up big time. So Ramona Park Broke My Heart, and the song that I'll give a little sample to is, you know, I'll probably say Mama's Boy is my favorite song on it.
For my mama. You ain't getting blue strips, what? You ain't never show shit, what? Went into the precinct car, told them who did what? Niggas be way too tough, finna call your bluff, pick up.
Before we actually officially wrap up, I want to go ahead and actually and introduce next month's theme, which was supposed to be this month's theme, but you know, Tony, sometimes when he be sending them texts, it's not an option. It's a direction. Next month, I'll be hosting the vinyl meetup, and I'm going to pick I'm gonna pick the theme I mentioned last month. It's gonna be 45 nights. So I'm gonna change it up next month, and instead of focusing on a particular genre, I'm looking to spotlight a particular vinyl format. I'm gonna prompt you guys as well as Adrian. Actually, we'll have two Adrians. We'll have both Adrians on the show next week. He'll be my special guest. But I'm gonna prompt you guys to explore your collections and find your favorite 45s, aka 7-inch records, all right? I don't know if you guys know this, but 7-inch records have been around for as long as the standard 12-inch records. It's only been like a year apart from when they were introduced. But
do you know what's the difference? Why did they do that? Why did they do a 45 compared to the normal size?
It's because they wanted, it was a better way of releasing.
sorry. Yeah, I ate too much cheese.
I think it was a better. It was. I think specifically aimed towards like rock and roll to release singles rather than whole albums. Because you know, a 45 holds you know a song each side. You know, maybe two on one side, but it's generally like a song each side. So it was like quicker way of like dropping singles.
But it doesn't change the quality of the song because it's not like better or anything different.
No, not at all. To me, the 45s are fun to collect. You know, they're like super cheap. They're normally in a dollar bin.
See.
And you can find so many songs, you know, if you just want to have like a particular song and not buy the whole album, or maybe the album is expensive as hell, you can always just buy a 45 and kind of scratch that. So that'll be my theme. I want to explore 45s and hear some of the singles that you guys pick next month. So, and speaking of next episode, we would love to hear from our listeners. So Spinheads, this is directed to you. We invite you to join in on the conversation we just had. Write into nextspin@gmail.com. We are now official. We got a Gmail. I feel pretty I feel like we love
have
it
a
up.
Gmail?
That's N-
Look at where the bar is at.
What the hell?
That's N-E-X-X-T.
Spin@gmail.
Just only two X people. No porno X. Just two X.
You might be taken to another page. But we want to. We want you to tell us what your most memorable Grammy moment is, or what you consider to be the most egregious Grammy snub, or just tell us about a theme you'd love to hear us cover in a future episode. I'd love to kind of maybe do a listener, you know, theme submitted night or something in the near
future.
What
about if they would like to be a guest? I think it'd be great if we could get some fans that truly know about music and truly record and truly collect records. Okay.
I need to want to fight somebody.
I like that you brought up the idea and then quickly, almost like
quickly, just
not
let it
shut
be known.
It down, but you like, look, you need to cross X, Y.
I mean, yeah.
We basically need a secret committee to go ahead and vet these listeners.
Please submit your ideas and records you would like to bring. Thank you.
I say, submit an email and shoot your shot. That's all you can ever do, all right? So that email, once again, is nextspin, that's with two X's, @gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, all right? Other than that, it's time for us to bid you all adieu now. On behalf of the Next Spin crew, I'd like to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank my co-hosts today, Yaya, Tony, and Freddie. Big shout-outs to our guy, Adrian, who couldn't be here with us, but he should be back next month. Check out pics and videos from this meetup over on our Instagram at NextSpin. That's once again NEXXTSPIN. And please help us grow this show by sharing this episode with a friend or your favorite music lover and vinyl aficionado. Leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, because that would be a big help in getting the word out to people about the podcast. Other than that, we appreciate you, and that's it for our show today. Come back next month for the next spin. Until then, take care of yourselves. Don't forget to play your records, and we'll catch you soon. Peace.